So I'm Terry Churchill, and we are about in the middle of a series that we're doing, focusing on, we called it the Petri dish, because we're talking about creating an environment where the kingdom of God can flourish. And so we're using that as an opportunity to talk about our covenant values as elements of that environment that creates a place where the kingdom can flourish. So my topic today, as John alluded to, is submission, because apparently I drew the short straw. because honestly, you know, that's a hard topic, right? In our culture, at least, that's a hard topic. And so I wanted to ask you, and I actually want you to tell me, what comes to mind when you hear the word submission? Yieldedness?
Surrendering self.
Doormat.
Loss.
Loss.
Authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tricky word because I think it's been a really, really misused word. So when you read it in the Bible, it's real easy for that word to get tagged to other things. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures and then we're going to pray. And you can be praying for me as I do this because I have some triggers around this word. Something like some of you shouted out. So in Mark 10, 42 through 45, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And then in Ephesians, it says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So let's pray. Lord, we just invite you here today to really show us what this means, how we can be submitting, what that word means. Help us to cut through all of our cultural baggage and even our personal experiences so that really we can eagerly move towards this idea, this value that we have as a community, so that your kingdom can flourish here and so that you can be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So really, this idea of biblical submission, really, when you rightly understand it, is a mutual submission, right? And it's we submit ourselves to one another as a natural extension of our submission to God, okay? And the trick there is to learn to tell the difference between my will and God's will. And that's not an easy thing to do, right? We tend to spiritualize our own points of view and mistake sort of our own desires, our own ideas, our own agendas for God's Spirit. And part of how God speaks to us has to do with giving little pieces of it, sort of spreading it around. So in order to really hear the will of God and the Spirit of God, we're going to need to be practicing submission and really good listening. So I wanted to read our, this is how it's written in our covenant right now when it comes to submission. We recognize our human tendency to pursue our own self-centered visions rather than God's dream for our community. Therefore, we submit to Christ as our Lord. We also believe God has purposed for servant leaders to lead within his church, and therefore we commit to support and encourage those God has called to leadership roles among us. Now, when Chris spoke last week, he sort of alluded to the idea that we are in the process of looking at some of these covenant values and specifically how they're written in our covenant and rewording them kind of partially to clean up the language so that it matches. Like some of them start out with "we believe" or and others are "we commit." So we wanted to kind of clean some of that up. But this one in particular, we want to be looking at, and we're going to be doing this in the future, so we haven't done anything with it yet. But this one is a little bit, when I think of the idea of biblical submission, this one, the way this is worded, there's nothing particularly wrong with it, but it's a little bit more slanted towards what it means to submit is that you, you know, honor your leaders. And I think that's it's worded in a way that kind of lends itself to some misunderstandings. So, if we provide the kind of environment where the kingdom of God is allowed to grow and flourish, and submission is one of those ingredients, I started to wonder, and I've been doing this with all of these values, I started to wonder what are the sort of the competing cultural values, the things that get in the way of that. And I wanted to ask you guys what you think. So if you think about those scriptures, you think about the idea of sort of a beautiful covenant value of submission, and then you look outside to the larger culture, do you have ideas about what some of our cultural values are that compete with that or get in the way of that? Individualism. Yeah, ideas about power. Self-determination, independence. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The desire to do things quickly. Yeah, that's an important one. So you guys actually touched on all of the ones that I want to deal with tonight. So that first one, you guys all, you know, touched on this idea of this really strong cultural value of individualism, independence, and privacy, right? So we have this really, really strong cultural thread that, you know what, we can be friends, we can love each other, but I'm going to make my own decisions, you know, and that's a value. That's not seen as something that's problematic in any way. That's seen as something that's really, really good. Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, talks about the spiritual discipline of submission, and he said something really, really interesting there. He said that submission... He talks about the freedom that they bring. And I think especially with submission, it's sometimes hard to think of the freedom connected to that. But what he calls submission is the ability to lay down the terrible burden of always needing to get our way. And I thought about that. That is a really heavy burden, to always feel like I need to get my way. But if we believe this, if we sort of believe this, that we are our own person, we get a lot of natural fears around letting other people into our lives in ways that they have actual influence on our decisions. And so we keep to ourselves, we're private, we sort of skitter on the surface of things, but we don't really let people in a substantive way where they actually have some say-so in our lives. And I think, that's one competing value. The second one is these ideas we have in our culture connected to what it means to be strong, what it means to be powerful, what it means to have control. This is a really, really huge one in our culture. And I think when you have somebody, especially in a spiritual environment, and you use the word submission to them, you ask them to submit to some spiritual authority, that's connected to a ton of power, and it lends itself to the possibility of abuse, right? And probably there's many, many of us who have experienced abuse at the hands of some authority and probably even a spiritual authority. And I think the church in the larger culture, so I want to kind of be careful about how I'm saying that, because when I talk about the larger culture and how the church has sort of gotten sucked into that, it sort of stops looking like the church. And I started thinking about, you guys know who Robert Jeffress is? He's on Trump's Evangelical Council, and he made a statement quite a while ago, and I'm going to read you the whole statement. I want you to think about it as I'm reading it. He said, you know, I was debating an evangelical professor on NPR, and this professor said, Pastor, don't you want a candidate who embodies the teachings of Jesus and would govern this country according to the principles found in the Sermon on the Mount? Jeffress said, I said, heck no. I would run from that candidate as far as possible because the Sermon on the Mount was not given as a governing principle for this nation. And then he said, government is to be a strong man, to protect its citizens against evildoers. When I'm looking for somebody who's going to deal with ISIS and exterminate ISIS, I don't care about that candidate's tone or vocabulary. I want the meanest, toughest, son of a you-know-what I can find, and I believe that's biblical. Okay, now, we can have discussions and disagree all day long, and I think there's some legitimate stuff embedded in that statement. Like, I don't necessarily think, this brings into question, can you be a Christian and run a government, right? Because there's some legitimacy there. The trouble is these ideas about leadership and the strongman and all of that stuff gets sort of adopted into the Christian community, and we start looking for leaders like that. And that is a real, real problem, right? So this idea that if you are a leader, you're gonna look sort of like this tough, strong, controlling, you know, this kind of a thing. And I don't think that's what leadership looks like in the kingdom of God, and there's no place for submission there. So that it's this concept sort of dismisses leaders from the idea of submission, right? So then the last thing that Chris touched on, this idea, this cultural value of expediency, of hurrying, of getting it done, right? If we have leaders in the church and they start to take their time with decisions, we start to think of them as ineffective, right? If they spend too much time listening, if things don't get done in the time frame that we think they're supposed to get done, we start to think of them as bad leaders, right? If you were a really good leader, you would be able to sort of steer this thing in the godly direction, right? And so we don't take our time. We don't listen to one another. We hurt one another. And we certainly don't take the time to submit to one another. In the last couple of years now, we've made some changes to the ways, the sort of the process we have to make decisions at Third Way. And we've done that to include a pretty intentional process of listening. So if we have something big that comes up, we want to submit that to the community, and we want to hear from people before any decisions are made on those things. And that was a change for us. We also went more in the direction of becoming a multi-voice community. Now, what that means is we all kind of were studying this book, The Power of All, and so what he says here is no longer is the Christian community largely passive, dependent on a few authorized ministers to preach, conduct worship, provide pastoral care, engage in mission, and exercise leadership. men and women, young and old, educated and illiterate, rich and poor, find their voices and discover their vocations. The ancient prophecy of Joel, fulfilled dramatically on the day of Pentecost, "I will pour out my spirit on all people," comes alive again in first-generation movements across the globe and through the centuries. So we made an intentional decision to be a community where it's not just one leader that everyone depends on for everything. So our voice, our authority is spread out. And the assumption there is that we all have the Holy Spirit and that we need to listen to one another to make good decisions. We need to be submitting to the Spirit of God that we encounter when we encounter one another. And I think that's an area where we're going to continue to be exploring there. But in order for that to work, we really do need to rely on being submitting to one another and that Holy Spirit within each of us. Now, of course, our primary example for submission is Jesus. And that's, if you take a step back from that idea, that's real surprising, isn't it? We think it, because in our culture, again, we think of submissiveness as sort of a weakness. But Jesus was constantly submitting to the Father, constantly. If you look at the life of Jesus, he came, he lived as a servant, he washed the feet of his disciples, and he suffered and he died for us. And I was thinking about that time in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's so interesting. He was praying, he asked his disciples to pray, they kept falling asleep. But what he was praying was, he was saying, "All right, Lord, if it's possible, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. But, yet not as I will, but as you will." And when you think about this, is Jesus, the Son of God, who is giving us an example of him giving up his will to the will of God, that is an astounding thing. And it's a beautiful thing. And I think back on that, that example that he gave us to lay down our will. And I think that's why Richard Foster calls it a spiritual discipline, because what we keep wanting to do is pick it back up again, right? We keep wanting to pick up our own will. We keep wanting to mistake that for the will of God. We keep wanting to not listen to the sort of the troublesome voices who don't agree with us, right? Shut that down. and so we sort of go on this quest to find the people who agree with us and shut down the people who have a different opinion. And we sort of miss out on the beautiful voice of God that comes when we really listen to one another and submit our own will, our own ideas, our own agenda to the Spirit of God and see what happens from that. I'm glad to be a part of a community that values that. I'm glad that that's one of our values. Even though it's something that I wrestle with, even though it's something where I have a history of being hurt by sort of twisted versions of submission. But I'm hopeful enough, and I believe in the Spirit of God enough to move in the direction of constantly laying down that heavy, heavy burden of always needing to get my way. So I want us to just take just a couple of minutes and reflect. So if you close your eyes, I would just want you to reflect on where you're challenged to listen more deeply and to submit your own ideas and agenda to the people in your life who have a spiritual care for you. Where do you find those opportunities? Where are you challenged to do that? And then just use this prayer time to submit that to God, to just be practicing laying down your own ideas, your own agenda, into the care of others who care for you, and also to the Spirit of God that lives in them. Lord, I thank you that you are a safe God to submit to, that that word is not a violent word in your hands. And I pray that you'd be teaching us, that you'd be modeling for us over and over again what it means to submit to one another in ways that bring about your kingdom, that create an environment, a culture where your kingdom can flourish. Amen.